Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard. This is Foster Brown, and we have got a very special program in line for you today. 2 hours of the Internet Advisor. Our first hour is chock full of guests. We're going to have the folks from IT and the D in here talking about their incredible program. We'll also be talking with Mike Brennan about a first anniversary that's taking place today. And we're going to have lots more to talk about, including the move to expand from the world of broadcasting to podcasting. All that coming up, along with the winner of a hackathon. You got it all today. It's so good to have you here for the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, along with my original posse here, Gary Baker. Good to have you in here.
It's great to be here. It's a good day to be on the radio.
Back from the high seas of Lake Huron, and also Mr. Ed Rudell.
I'm glad we're not in Ann Arbor today.
Oh, yeah. Lord, yeah.
Or Toledo,
that's right.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on in Toledo?
A water shortage. They can't drink the water. So,
Oh, my.
And as a matter of fact, they suspect that it's algae causing some sort of chemical reaction.
And, oh, my goodness.
And apparently it's giving potential rashes.
What
and
an irony, so, being next to one of the great lakes. And
it's great for people selling water today, as far north as Ann Arbor and probably beyond. I couldn't believe it. As I was walking in, people were pushing shopping baskets full of water, pushing one and pulling
stock.
So
water everywhere, not a drop to drink.
That's exactly what came to me. Be hearing some of the guys from IT and the D, which I will introduce in just a moment. But Ed, good to have you in here again, as always. And the mystery man is back, and that's Mr. Cal Carson. Good to have you here.
When you said the original posse, the first thing I thought was original sin, but that's another story entirely. But yeah, it's great to be back. It's wonderful. I mean, I've been in some pretty cool places.
It's
great to be back.
Yeah, Cal is he works the electronics for major figure skating events around the country.
Around the country.
You were what was the one in New York? You were at Lake Placid?
Lake Placid.
I was at Lake Placid, where the Miracle on Ice took place in 1980, which was a wonderful place to go and see.
But it was. Okay. And then we also have in studio with us three guys. We're just having a ball listening to their program. And they're also going to be with us in a little bit to talk about something called IT in the D. I'll just leave it at that. We've got Jeff Mackey, Dave Phillips, and Bob Waltonspiel in the we will ring our own bell, okay? Introduce you guys shortly. That's an inside joke if you've ever listened to their podcast. It's a lot of fun. We have links to that. We have links to all sorts of things on our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Both the IT and the D, some links to theirs so you can listen to some of their podcasts. And MI Tech News is there as well. And, of course, that's with our friend, Mr. Mike Brennan. And, Mike, good to have you here with us on the Internet Advisor again.
I think from now on I like to be addressed as Mr. Mike Brennan. That would be appropriate.
Mr. Mike Brennan,
Mr.
Yes.
Mike Brennan, if you want to get really fancy about that. Well, Mike is the editor of MI Tech News, and as a matter of fact, Mike, this is the first anniversary of our having created a co-edited newsletter with you. And we'll talk a little bit more about that after the break in this first segment. So let's talk a little bit about MI Tech News and some of the headlines that you have this week. One headline, I love this one to start with, just for the humor, it is Martians win first place in World Robot Olympiad.
Well, it shouldn't be world, it should be universe. Yeah.
Yeah, we thought it was just for the world, but it turned out it was intergalactic.
There you go.
So what was that about?
The kids from Westland, they came up with a robot that would collect soil samples on Mars. Now, of course, they got to get it there.
Yes.
But that's pretty innovative, I think. And now they're going on to Lawrence Tech is also going to be hosting the finals in September. So these kids get a pass to the finals, and colleges could see them. They could get scholarships. Could be great.
Well, we were talking, matter of fact, Rasnick was his name, I think. The guy was with Team Rush. Cameron was one of the guys there who had, and if you remember, he had, I think, was planning on going to one of the local universities like U of M and suddenly got a pitch after their success in a robotic event MIT?
So he's going to MIT instead. You know, Michigan, MIT,
full
about
ride.
The same.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. So this is a really important thing, what's happening with these robotic events for these kids, both in terms of training them, but, boy, launching them out into the world. Hey, another one I saw there was Google software engineer to create endowed chair of computer science at MSU. College of Engineering.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the fellow that graduated from the that engineering school back in 96. He went out to Google and got involved in Gmail when it first started.
Ooh.
So I guess those stock options are worth a few bucks now.
And he's putting 2 million of them at the disposal of Michigan State
University. Yeah, so he's going to endow this chair in computer science at MSU as part of his estate plan, which I don't know if that means they don't get the dough until he dies or what.
I'm not
sure, but anyway, the $2 million will endow the chair, so you'll have a professor that'll be focused on that, and that'll pay his or her salary.
Well, there's another event that you headline here about schools. This is an Eastern Michigan University senior is one of 11 nationwide to win scholarships to study cybersecurity. Which is interesting. Where will he be studying that?
It's the centers of there's three or four of them around the state right now where they have the quality assurance program. It's actually the NSA runs and sanctions the program and teaches folks how to be really into, you know, cybersecurity. And so Eastern Michigan is one of the three, Detroit Mercy and Welch being the other three, or part of the three, that originally started this. And so she's at Eastern. She was attracted to the Eastern's program, which Skip Lauver pioneered. Now he's retired, but he was one of her advisors early on. And now she's a senior, and she just won a $5,000 scholarship from Hewlett Packard, which will pay all the rest of the fees that
That's
her scholarships
wonderful.
Don't. So,
well, Mike, these are headlines. These are the kind of headlines, folks, that you get with MI Tech News when you get it delivered to you every Friday, absolutely free. And how do you get that delivered to you? Simply go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, and look for the smiling face of Mr. Mike Brennan, and there's a Subscribe Now button there. Click on that, and you'll find all the information you need to subscribe to that. Every Friday, you get not only these kind of headlines, but others. For instance, if you're an entrepreneur, talk about places you can get together to network, places where there's going to be some investors out there with money and looking to invest maybe in your great idea, or, for instance, about a summit coming up on November 16th and 17th at Cobo Center. And downtown Detroit will be the Michigan Cyber Summit. So things like that are available for you. All you got to do is to get on to the internetadvisor.net site, go down to the Subscribe Now button, and MI Tech News is delivered to you this and a whole lot more. Matter of fact, Mike Brennan, hang on. We're going to talk about a whole lot more that we're delivering with that newsletter in just a moment. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor with a chock full of nuts program. It's a brand I remember, and I think it really adds to the definition of what we got going on here. Lots of fun in the studio. We'll be sharing that with you just shortly. Right now, however, when we bring back Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the editor of MI Tech News, which has been around. Mike Brennan, for how long now?
Started it in the year 2000.
In the year 2000?
One month before the dot-com bubble burst. Timing is everything, right?
Yeah.
Mike, we've had that problem in the past, haven't we?
Oh, dear.
Well, Gary and I go back much further than that. We worked on some websites together
That's
when
right.
I was at, not while I was at the Free Press, but when I was working at the Free Press on the side, I worked with Gary on some stuff. So.
That's right.
And Mike, your background is as a journalist, and just for people who may not have known much about your background and heard you only in terms of MI Tech News here and the headlines, you've been in journalism for a long time.
Yes.
Long time.
I was in the newspaper business for almost 20 years, and then I was the first website in the state that was devoted to covering tech news.
And that's been the concept, isn't it, that you want to feed this unique set of information about things that have happened and things that are going to be coming up in news. And I know that you've branched out into the pharmaceutical field, for instance, letting people know about things going on there. Biomedical field, isn't it?
Well, they like to call it life sciences. I call
that's
it biotechnology. Same thing.
Okay, you know, so. But that's the field you have been covering has been expanding as you've been covering it.
Yeah, I mean, there's really a lot going on compared to when I got here in 1995. There wasn't really much going on in this area, but I mean, it's just amazing. There's always a lot going on at the big three, at the auto companies. But they always kept their technology inside. They never really developed it. Mm-hmm. And so, but now there's a lot of stuff going on in all these different areas across the state. So.
Well, and Mike's real value in reading his newsletter, mytechnews.com, is that he understands the technology, but he writes for the layperson. And that's really what I've heard so many times is the real value when you read his newsletter.
Well, Mike, we've had you on here because today in particular, a little longer than we normally do, because this is the first anniversary of what we've done as a co-branded newsletter, which is the idea is to kind of combine the unique resources of both parties so that you not only now have, for instance, with MI Tech News, the headlines that you've been dealing with and the full stories that they follow to, but also some sound bites that are there as well.
Well, of course, we pick up your podcast. Mm-hmm. What's going on over the air right now will be recorded, is recorded, and it will be available in a couple of days. So you can listen to any of the segments today, you know, time shifting and all that at your leisure. The initial segment for my news is also a separate segment, and that's just the beginning. We've Foster and Jason and I have been talking about all sorts of things we want to do as a next step. And I know we're going to be talking about that. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder here.
Let's introduce the Jason. You just took his name in vain. We'll bring him on. Jason Johnson is with us from F7 Studios in Grand Rapids. Jason, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me on again.
Sure. Jason, you are the guiding light behind the technology that's involved in a podcast channel that you and Mike have been working on developing out of F7 Studios. Tell folks just a little bit about what a podcast channel. They may know what a radio channel, if you will, is in terms of like 760 AM is where you find WJR, our flag station. But what's a podcast channel?
So essentially, a podcast is like, it can be video, but it's like radio for the internet. That would probably be the best way to put it. You go to someone's website, or you can find some podcast, various topics in places like iTunes. They have a podcast directory that's probably one of the biggest ones out there. But there's a lot of different ones out there, and then you can subscribe, and as Mike said earlier, it's the on-demand revolution. It's time-shifted content. You're not necessarily relegated to showing up and dialing in, although it's fun to listen to it fresh and live.
Yeah, but that's the unique
flexibility.
That's the unique sense of the podcast. It's not appointment radio or appointment listening as radio is. Cal, you had a question.
Yeah, just a little bit. In addition to doing the things that you're going to be doing for MI Tech News and for us as well, a little bit more about F7 Studios. How long you guys been around, and what sort of services do you offer to other people?
We kind of consider ourselves a new media production house, where we would either take folks who have a voice and a passion and they want to share something with the world, and then on the other side, folks like yourself who have been doing it professionally in traditional broadcast, where they just want the added flexibility and to expand their platform onto the internet. So, folks in the garage coming up to broadcast or broadcast coming down.
Well, you just said an interesting kind of phrase, expanding or opening up. And that's what we're doing here with our program, which has been on, if you will, traditional radio, both on our flag station, 7060 WJR here at 760 AM in Detroit, one of the oldest and biggest in the U.S., including a number of our affiliates as well across the state.
WJRW in Grand Rapids, WJIM in Lansing, WKLI in Kalamazoo, and WKLQ in Whitehall, Muskegon.
You know, it's so nice to know that Gary knows his ABCs really well. You're great, man.
I was just reaching out.
And you put your hand out there, and that golden voice
and touched our affiliate station.
So, Mike, our concept now is to take all this what we've got right now and expand it for our listeners and for other people as well. And in a segment coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be talking with the guys from IT and the D, and they have kind of come from the other side of the street. They are on podcast and drawing incredible numbers of people listening to them through that. So we're looking at expanding out into this podcast area. Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about some of the things we're hoping to do with this expansion?
Well, certainly we're hamstrung here by time when we're doing radio live.
Right.
You only have a certain amount of time. Then that's it. You can't continue on with the interview. So what we want to do, we're not sure we'll do it in studio or through your studio, Foster, or how we'll do it, but take those guests and do the more in-depth interviews that maybe are 15 minutes long. And then offer those only on the podcast channel. That way you come there whenever you want to hear the rest of the story, like yep. Paul Harvey used to say, right?
Exactly, so, exactly. You have a much more freedom there. If we've got somebody that Cal brings in who's of interest, we may do a little bit of a something on the air with us here in the program and on both WJR and the affiliates, but then we get a chance to sit and talk at more expanse. I got to say, that's something that I have envied as I've listened to the podcast by the guys from IT and the D, that they can take the time to really expand a topic and have a lot of fun with it. So it's been something that we're planning on doing. And as a matter of fact, for instance, today, if you look at our homepage, you'll see something here about a review that I had of the Samsung Galaxy S5. Now, you won't hear that necessarily in today's program, but it's about 10 minutes long. It's something that's there as a bonus for you.
Right.
So you'll be able to hear that on that podcast link, and that's available if you click, for instance, on the icon, on the phrase below the review. You'll see that there's a way for you to listen to that on that podcast channel right now. And that's what Mike and Jason, we hope to be doing coming up in the, well, matter of fact, starting right now, we're going to be developing these extra segments on it. And we hope to, yep. You know, to really expand the reach so that, with radio, I know I've done radio here professionally over 40 years, a little over 40 years, and one of the things that drives you nuts sometimes is that the programs can become so popular, you have even less time to talk about things.
That's right.
I remember doing the Paul W. Smith show on the station WJR one time around Christmas, and you got maybe a chance to ask one question, get a response back from your guest, and maybe a rejoinder, maybe, before you had traffic and weather and then all the rest of the stuff to do. So while you get to talk to a lot of people, you also have something that's terribly frustrating for an interviewer, that you don't really have the time to get into the subject.
Well, and it's a little bit like the web itself, right? Which is the ability to get a summary of the topic, and then if you want to, drill down deeper and deeper in whatever area that you'd like to. So podcasting just adds richness and flavor to what we do here every week.
And the other great thing about podcasting, the guys from the D could definitely tell us the same thing, too.
They add lots of flavor.
Yes, you get plenty of flavor, probably some spice. So it's crazy over there with those guys.
Hot sauce and beer is the combination, I think.
But the beautiful part about it is you get a chance to go back and actually listen. What did he say? You can roll it back and take a look at it. So it's really
did he actually say that?
Yeah. it's great. And you know, not that we get crazy on WJR.
Oh, no.
But with the ability of podcasting, and these guys to the left of me can tell you for sure, you can be a little more linguistically creative.
Yes. Oh, how I like that.
There's no FCC.
Yeah. Requirement. Yeah.
You know, one of the things Ed talked about, we have said time and time again, Jason and Mike, that the conversations that happen in the studio here between the segments, Shane are almost much more. Shane Hamill's with us too. They're almost most more fun sometimes than the stuff on the air.
It's a podcast in itself.
Darn it,
right?
We should podcast this.
Ed Rudell suggested we do a segment called Behind the Scenes, where we capture those breaks.
Oh, my gosh.
And then put that as a bonus on the podcast channel.
Foster, we say the same thing all the time. We want to call it IT the D After Dark, taping our segments in between. Yeah,
that's exactly
it. That's
Bob from the IT the D. We'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But, Jason, thank you for creating this channel and for working on it technically. Mike, Brennan, I look forward to this expanding, exciting things are coming. Folks, you stay tuned to the Internet Advisor. Coming up in just a moment, IT in the D. Also joining us in studio, Shane Hamlin. How you doing, Shane?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Top down on the convertible today?
Yeah, you know, it was 50-50 chance of rain. I said, you know what? I'm going for it. Got the top down.
And he doesn't have a top, right?
It's down.
It's down.
Going down.
Give it. What's that windblown look that he has constantly?
Now, if it would have started raining while I was stuck at the gate, I would have been really mad today.
I want to introduce our next group of guests. It's been a lot of fun listening to them do their podcast, which they've been doing for a year now. Let me introduce to you the guys behind IT in the D. Jeff Mackey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
You are the voice of reason?
I am.
You're the voice of reason. And then Bob Waldenspiel is here. How you doing, Bob?
Good. How you doing, Foster?
He is the man behind the outstanding laugh, I think. Am I?
No, that's Dave.
Dave. That would be Dave.
I'm the sales guy of the group.
He's the sales guy of the group. And then Dave, of course. Dave, you've already taken your name in vain. Dave Phillips is here.
What else is new?
And what role do you play?
On our show, I'm Captain Soundboard.
Okay.
I'm the geek of the group.
All right, you wear the little bus driver hat.
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, so now I get it. There's a geek, there's a sales guy, and then
I'm
the
in middle. I prevent the two of them from killing each other.
You're right. The voice of reason. I get
I'm
it.
The voice of reason. That's
you
right.
Go. You know,
that
makes sense. For many of our listeners who are used to regular, if you will, terrestrial radio,
right?
Or if you will, standard broadcast that we're kind of doing here at WJR and has been doing for almost 100 years. Podcasting is brand new. The notion that there's a world out there of people who are doing broadcasts that are not controlled by commercial content necessarily,
right.
If you will, restricted to certain yep. time frames, and that are wildly popular. For instance, I was hearing that you guys are close to how many listeners for each one of your programs?
The last few have gotten to be about 100,000 per episode, which is nuts. And so to your point, though, like, so we're live Monday nights, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. And
right.
we knew from the get-go that's a horrible time for our
sure.
demographic. Because, I mean, at that point in time, the folks that are in our networking group and that kind of stuff, they're either A, still out in bars, or B, getting the kids in bed. So
yeah,
we knew it was never about live. It was all about after-the-fact syndication.
But, I mean, what's remarkable to me is that you have been on for 1 year. I can't think of probably a rare program in standard broadcast radio that can pick up that kind of a listenership. And, by the way, folks, it's not just in the United States. This is around the globe.
Yeah, we have listeners in all 50 states and 41 countries.
And how do you know that, by the way, Bob?
Stats.
We get stats from, we publish out our archives to SoundCloud, iTunes, to Stitcher. So they give us stats on where the traffic's coming from, where the downloads are coming from, how long they're staying, who's staying. So, I mean, you know, we show the top listeners. We get full board stats from SoundCloud.
You know, what's interesting about that, Gary and Shane, you've been on radio too, on network radio as well, is the ability to get that kind of detail of who's listening and when is just remarkable.
Yeah, we don't have to guess, right?
Well, yeah, the stats are interesting because, I mean, really, it's all about time delay, right? So a lot of our listeners are commuting. You know, we have people listening live, but it's not necessarily the majority of our.
Not at all.
Yeah.
How many people download, you know, rather than listening to the stream, you know, where it's being streamed to them, how many people download the whole show and then listen to it in pieces?
On average, so out of 100,000 listeners, like in our last two episodes, probably 20,000 of those were downloads.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and initially we started breaking up our show into four segments. Like we would actually have four different downloads per show, and we stopped doing that because people were listening for the full 2 hours.
That's fascinating. Right. I often listen to the stuff from the Twit Network.
Right, yep.
And now I got to put you guys in the mix as well. But
sorry.
For me, I'll have them on like all week long and listen to them in bites and chunks.
When you get
the whole shoot and match. But the unique thing is that, as you said, it's not... You don't have to be there, for instance, with our listeners at 4 o'clock
right.
exactly. on a Saturday afternoon. You can listen to it at 2 a.m. on a Friday if you want.
Right.
And around the globe, you've got people. I wouldn't be surprised if you have some people in Australia listening to you.
Oh,
right?
We do.
Yep.
Yeah. So down under, good day.
Right.
Or tonight, it's good night.
Right.
So let's talk about your relationship, the three of you, however, dates back to 2000, right? 2000, 2001?
2001.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's just talk a little bit about how you guys got together and what IT and the D was before it became this podcast.
So, a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly.
In a galaxy far away.
So, you know, I'm the sales guy of the group. I cut my teeth selling co-location and telco services, right? Dave actually had a small web hosting company, so he was on the list.
Ah.
So every month around Friday at 3, he would get a call for me to
Friday at 3. I like the timing on that.
So he would get a call for me to move the servers over to my data center. And after about a dozen times of calling him, and we figured, you know, we had some nice conversations. We're like, you know what, let's just have a beer.
Uh-huh.
And we figured out we were way better friends than business associates. So we started, you know, being friends. And then, you know, the group kind of started as we wanted to network with peers, you know, in the IT industry. But we didn't want to pay $20 to the door. We didn't want to weed through chamber salespeople or insurance salespeople. Nothing wrong with that. But we wanted to talk
MLM, fruit basket salesman.
Exactly. Because if they're talking about folks, the kind of network experiences that are out there that aren't really very specific to what you're trying to do. And as you say, you have to fight the fruit basket salesman to get attention of somebody. But so you narrowed it down by creating these social gatherings. Now, Jeff, were you involved at this point?
I was, yeah. I've been going to the networking events since 2001, 2002.
Okay, that was what brought you in, was the networking events.
Yep.
Let's talk about the networking events, because that fascinates me. So it began as the two of you in a social atmosphere, relaxing, having a drink together and talking and swapping stories. How did it branch out from there?
So, you know, basically we said, what's next? And back in like 07, 08, when the economy crashed, we were finding half the people at our socials were out of work. So, you know, Dave had a network of geeks. We had a network of recruiters that would call on us from time to time. So we said, hey, there's people out of work here. Why don't you show up and you two intermingle? So we said, you know, hey, what's next? So we put a fancy spin on it, called it a pink slip party.
I love it.
So we decided, hey, the only people that are allowed to show up are if you're out of work or if you're hiring. And lo and behold, we blew up the bar that we were at, and we've been looking for bigger spaces ever since.
Now, you are moving. Matter of fact, right now, folks, to bring it to 2014, you are now moving to the Majestic Theater?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's on Woodward in the central area of Detroit.
Yeah, Midtown.
Right across from Union Street, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Midtown Detroit. So, again, are the restrictions, if you will, the same? You got to be unemployed and or a recruiter?
We loosen up the restrictions on unemployment. You know, if you're looking for a job and you want to meet someone, you know, you always want to be better, right? So if you can meet someone that gives you a better opportunity, by all means, we're not going to shun you from the door.
You know, Jeff, what I find fascinating about this is it didn't start, this remarkable listenership that you have with the podcast didn't start out of thin air. You really have built it through this network of social events. They're aware of what you've been doing, your brand, if you will.
We have. I mean, between the three of us, I mean, our network is pretty big in the Metro Detroit area. So we've been doing these events. And by the way, we have monthly networking events. You know, the third Thursday of every month.
So you continue to build that.
We continue to build that event. So the Pink Slip parties, I mean, we don't really have restrictions on the Pink Slip parties with regards to, you know, you can come, no, you can't, you can come, no, you can't.
Unless you're in IT. That's the only restriction.
That's pretty much the only general restriction.
Right, then you keep it focused there. Yeah,
keep it focused.
So just so I can get it right here, how I come to your party.
Sure.
We network, we yak, yak, yak. How do people find out about your podcast? How do they find out about your website? How did you get the word out about that, and how did it grow exponentially from there?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've done everything completely backwards from the normal point of view. You know, so we spent a long, you know, over a decade building up our group. So by the time we actually got around to launching our podcast, which is just something else we stumbled into, and I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point, we had a LinkedIn group with almost 5,000 members in it.
Let me back up, folks. LinkedIn is one of those social networks that was initially for professionals only, for businesses.
Correct.
I mean, that's how it built itself. It's expanded quite a bit now.
And people are still posting pictures of what they had for lunch on LinkedIn.
Yes, right. And that's primarily our only official, unofficial way that we actually gauge our membership, quote unquote.
Ah,
so
it's through the LinkedIn group.
We did is we built. You know, we had the listeners, or we had the people coming to our events. We decided to build content for the website. Right. We have to get people to kind of get engaged. So we started writing a series of blogs called "Don't Be That Guy." For us, that was a policing mechanism to, you know, keep the people out that we didn't want out. So it was, the whole group has been trial, error, and feedback. So the people that we meet that were either overzealous sales guy or, you know.
Or MLM guy, or multi-level marketing.
People trying to actually peddle their products at our
Lord,
events. We've actually escorted those people out.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did you keep the fruit basket, though?
Do you keep the swag? That's the question.
Right.
The
swag. You know, since he says about stumbling on it, tell us about how you stumbled on the podcast thing.
Well, so a friend of a friend of mine built out the studio that we broadcast out of. And so in early 2013, like in February and March, I went in and sat around and talked about, at the time, DetroitNet.org. That's what we used to be named. And talked about our group and our events and what we have going on.
Well, Dave and I used to speak at Michigan Shifting Gears, which is a program for people in their executives in their 50s looking to reshape. So we used to do the 10 commandments of networking or the 10 commandments of job search.
Boy, with the crash in the economy, must have been a lot of people interested in that.
Right. Well, it's a lot of people shifting into the IT industry.
Yeah.
So for, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, people were saying, hey, you guys have a great dynamic. You should take this on the air. And come on. So, yeah, Dave had a friend in the studio.
And then so in April of last year, you know, she wound up saying, hey, one of our co-hosts called in sick. You've always been fun. You want to come in? and sit for a whole night. Sure, absolutely. You know, and then in May, she called me up and said, hey, our Monday night show from 9 to 11 isn't working out. You want 2 hours of airtime every week? Yes, we do.
Yeah, I love it. By the way, the folks you're listening to, that was Dave Phillips, Bob Walton. Pardon me. Walton Spiel is also here, and Jeff Mackey. They are the crew that have become IT in the D. And we're going to talk more about where they record, fascinating place, and also about the IT that they're finding in the D. All that coming up in just a moment. We got a great program going today. Hi, this is Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Shane Hamlin here at Mike's. We've got the other guy kind of platooned out because we got so many
tag teams,
so many folks in the studio right now having a lot of fun talking with the folks from IT and the D, which is a great podcast. Jeff Mackey, Bob Waldenspiel, and Dave Phillips are with us in studio. Guys, thank you again. For being in here with us.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
It's our pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's in the afternoon instead of the evening.
It is daylight. We were afraid a little bit we were going to wind up bursting into flame, but it turned out okay.
This must be kind of like an hors d'oeuvre for you, because you're used to being on the air for like two solid straight hours.
Right.
Now, just teasing us at this point.
Yeah, the podcast that you have there has been on the air for roughly, I say on the air, but on the internet for... just over a year.
Yeah,
right?
June 3rd.
Yep, June 3rd.
2013 was our first episode.
And you've got 52 or 53 episodes, I think, out now.
We just did 52.
Yep, 52. Okay. Yep. And by the way, links to this you can find on our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Click off to that and find out about it. We've been talking a little bit about how it came to be that you had the podcast. And what I found interesting about this is that you started working with a real felt need here in Detroit, and that is... to create a social environment in which people could network effectively, those who are the geeks, if you will, people who were interested in IT,
right.
That they could get together with people who understood them. They didn't have to wade through all the rest of the junk that's out there.
Well, Foster, our big deal was I didn't want to spend $20 at the door. I didn't want to stop talking to someone I just met because of a guest speaker. I didn't want to be spammed afterwards. We're like, why can't it be simple? And that was the whole foundation behind everything.
I like how you disciplined that too, Jeff, that you really have worked at keeping that focus.
Well, we have to. I mean, I used to be a staffing manager, and between Dave and I, we know a lot of recruiters in the IT industry in Metro Detroit, and we didn't want to have them wade through a bunch of people that were not in IT to talk to somebody in IT at our events.
Mm-hmm. You guys have got some passions, Dave Phillips, listen to this.
Right.
Things that you think are really key and important. Name a few of them.
God, just keeping everything true and clear on focused on the IT industry, first and foremost, is damn near everything we're about. And
the other thing, pardon me, let me focus the question a little bit better. I've heard you talking about building businesses, you know, having people, for instance, bringing interns in and building your own staff.
Oh, as, yeah.
Like, those kind of things that I've heard you guys, mantras.
Didn't a recruiter actually build their business off of one of our events?
Yeah, several have. No, right. But I mean, one of the Don't Be That Guys that I published out, and there are two of them. One is, you know, Don't Be That Guy that says there's no IT jobs here in Metro Detroit, because there are, you're just lazy.
Yes.
And then Don't Be the Company that says there's no IT talent here in Metro Detroit, because shenanigans. Yes, there are.
Right.
You know, one of the conversations that I wound up having with a company was they laid off, 100 or so, big iron mainframe, COBOL developers, and then started whining that they didn't have, they needed to hire like 100 .NET, Java, PHP front end developers. Well, guess what, genius? You had 100 people.
Yeah.
In your building that knew your company, knew your culture.
Exactly.
And were passionate about your business.
Well, and with a six-week training class could have been that .NET Java front-end developer that you needed.
Bob, is that message getting through? Are you seeing that having an impact?
I'd like to think so. I don't think it is.
But I'm thinking of a company that I heard on the air, like Brightwing. Was it
one
of those companies like that?
Well, they're a recruiting firm. I mean, they get it. There's a few that don't get it, right? Brightwing is trying to build the community, right? Most recruiting companies try to get the jobs, and they look at monster.com for resumes.
There you go.
Brightwing is one of the ones that are actually like, hey, we're trying to build a community. We're trying to educate. We're trying to have workshops and events and things to do a little bit more than the standard company. I think that's it's showing them being more successful than everybody else just because they're taking that extra initiative.
Right? How do you choose the guests for your program?
It's
what's the great, other than people who will go down to the Russell.
That's
part of it. Not going to lie.
Coming to Detroit at 9 o'clock on a Monday. That's actually the first litmus.
Well, we actually had the CIO of Oakland County, Phil Bertolini, come in, and
there you go.
This is a good story.
We said, hey, meet us at. We usually get together at Third Street, which is a saloon in Wayne State on campus there, just because it's hard to get into. The
and
Russell.
Then you escort them.
Right. Absolutely.
Pretty much.
If you're familiar with the Russell, it's kind of hard to get to as far
but
as...
Wait, stop for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Russell Industrial Center, folks, is off of I-75. It's that massive building. As Ed and I were coming in today, there was a drone flying over the expressway.
Well,
it's been the home for a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they're actually filming the Batman versus Superman movie there.
Okay.
That's where the Batcave
they're filming
is.
Part of that there. Transformers 4 was there. Eminem and Rihanna just did a video there
last
week.
It's wild.
There's actually restrictive signs everywhere saying, you may not go here, you can go here, you can
I
go there.
See that as the paradox of Detroit.
No,
it looks like a dump.
It is. I mean,
there's all sorts of stuff going on.
It looks like where one of the Saw movies was filmed. Absolutely.
The building is an entire city block. It's huge.
It's enormous.
See, I know these guys better than you know. Because, see, they just, oh, it's a restricted area. You're not supposed to be there. They're doing a major film. All they're doing is getting people to come down to do the radio show. By the time they get back to the studio, there's going to be a billion people sitting there.
Well, it's like the end user license agreement, right? You know, if you want to have somebody read it, say, don't read this.
Right.
Exactly.
No, but I mean, you know, to your question, as far as, you know, the guests that come on our show, I mean, it's, we're not laughably, okay, yeah, so we're IT in the D, but one of the last things we actually talk about is IT. You know, we really talk about, you know, things that are of interest in going on around the area. So, yeah, we've had Phil Bertolini, you know, CIO of Oakland County, and we've had, you know, Nate Hughes from Detroit Labs and a bunch of other IT folks in. We've also had, you know, roller derby girls in. We had the guys that run Go Comedy Improv in over in Ferndale.
Comic-Con. I heard you guys.
Comic-Con. We had a great time.
That was
at
our
Comic-Con.
Favorite one. Yeah, that was actually one of our more popular episodes.
So, I mean, it's just things that would appeal to our demographic that, you know, we're interested in and we think they might be interested in. And so, yeah, let's make that happen.
What is that demographic, guys? What is that demographic? I'm fascinated.
God, I wish we knew.
It's honestly IT geeks, but in a good way.
You know, the best compliment we got is a gal showed up at one of our networking events, and she said, I listened to your show, and I felt myself talking to your show because it sounds like the guys I hang out with.
Cool.
And for us, it's
all
about...
Yeah, I found myself talking back to you.
Right. for us, it's all about...
Not necessarily arguing with my radio.
I was going to say, this sounds like your wives.
No, for us, it's all about the banter. So it's like, what do three IT guys talk about when they hang out? And that's really what we want.
Okay.
You know, and you know, we had QA coder, you know, testers on the show, and we wanted a geek show, and it failed miserably. So we said, let's go back to what, you know, what broke this thing down, and it's what do the three of us talk about when we hang out?
So would it be safe to say that you're the social side of geek world?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're the other kind of geek.
And that's where we resonate. Yep.
We had the geekiest guy I ever met in my life come up to me at an event, another one. He said, you know, you guys aren't very informative, but wow, are you entertaining. And I said, that's genius.
That's
thank
still
you.
Our best quote or just best review. Ever.
That was what we were going for.
But I also find, as I listen to you, that it strikes me as it's an echo of kind of an underground pulse that's going on in Detroit. I young man from our church in Royal Oak area, moved back down, 27 years old, moved back down to Detroit. He wants to be in the loft.
Right.
He wants to be where the action is. And I'm thinking this is like an audience that's, you know, between the mid-20s to mid-30s, maybe late 30s, that represent this kind of pioneer spirit in the city of Detroit.
Well, the geeks are inheriting Detroit. I mean, they're coming in and
that's absolutely correct.
Over.
Yep.
I mean,
that's an interesting way of putting it.
I mean, 10 years ago, you couldn't get people to work downtown. I mean, as a manager, like, you know, oh, you know, there's an opportunity, but you have to commute downtown. Oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to go any further than Troy. Well, now the opposite is true. I don't want to take that job unless it's in Detroit.
I sometimes think, as I listen to you guys and the things that are going on down in Detroit, we may finally get a good public transportation system down like that.
Right.
A real high-speed rail system that works or
right.
a bus system that works. Because now you got the people down there
there's
that will
need.
Demand it.
There's so a need.
That's,
yeah.
why, that's yep. why we see Uber taking off. We had Uber, the general manager, on, and their business is booming downtown because there's no the cab service is bad. The bus service is bad. There's no train. There's no subway. So Uber is just absolutely taken off with the young community.
Exactly. Yeah, competition is king.
People don't even realize that we have Amazon down here.
All right.
All the business-to-business for Amazon is headquartered here. Now they do other things around the country.
I hate stopping this conversation because we're running out of time because this is radio. But you guys, the conversation will go on with IT and the D, Jeff Mackey, Bob Walton-Spiel, and Dave Phillips. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So much.
Yeah,
it has been
us.
A hoot having you here. Love you bringing that energy in. If you want to find this, folks, go to internetadvisor.net and click on IT and the D anywhere on there, and it'll take you right to their site. Lots to see there, blogs and podcasts and all sorts of good things. And folks, we will be back in just a few minutes after the news to bring you a conversation with a winner, a king of coding. You'll find out more about that after we come back at the top of the hour and also start answering your questions.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Thank you very much for being here for the second hour of our program because it's your part of the program. Well, both parts are, of course, but I mean, this is the one where you get to set the agenda with your questions. We've got some great staff people here, tech experts who have been helping people for a long time. That's Mr. Ed Riddell and Cal Carson, Shane Hamlin, and Gary Baker, and myself here, Foster Brown.
We're going to be helping you answer your questions at 800-859-0957 after we talk to a king of coding. Thank you so much for this hour two that you're here with us. And we've already got some folks lined up, which is great. And we're going to be getting to them in just a second. Here's the number for your call, 800-859-0957. 800-859-0957. And by the way, this is one of the last four programs that we're going to be able to be available for you here during this summer to answer your questions live here at WJR, our flagship station. So please do take advantage of that to get some help for yourself with our great tech expert team here. We'll be talking with Marvin from Southfield, Harry from Port Huron, and we've got Joe out in Livonia that we'll be talking to in just a minute. But right now, I'd like to welcome to somebody in our studio who is, I tell you, is the king of coding. We can call him that pretty safely. And that is Sam Harrell, who is with us right now. Sam, thank you very much for joining us here in studio.
Hi, thank you, Foster.
Along with a beautiful young lady.
Yes, my daughter Anna's here as well.
Anna, we're delighted to have you here. How are you, Anna?
Good.
Very good. Now, your daddy is very good at working on computers. Do you work on computers, too? Do you, like, do things on computers?
She plays games.
You play games?
And there's something called ADL, the Summer Games, at our Ann Arbor District Library, all five branches.
Yes?
There's codes hidden, and if you read or watch a movie, you log it in, and there's a summer game shop.
I love it.
So you get free stuff, and it costs points.
I love
that you with your reading.
Anna, I feel like I'm talking to the future here. You are so well connected with this. You know lots about things there. Do you like? Yes.
Yeah.
Do you like the library? Is the library a fun place to be?
Yeah.
I know my grandchildren love playing with the computers there. Do you do that too?
Yeah.
Can I talk to your daddy now? And I could carry on a whole conversation. You're great,
my
Sam.
God,
thank you very much.
How old is she?
How old is she, Sam? How old are you, Anna?
Seven
years.
Wow.
Great.
And
so
knowledgeable.
There's another generation, huh, Sam?
Absolutely.
Sam, I saw that you won a hackathon in New York.
Yeah, New York City. A pretty big one.
What is a hackathon?
Tell us about that.
So a hackathon is a software competition. They typically span from 24 hours to 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And you get a group of software developers and you put problems in front of them, new web APIs, new SDKs, new technologies, mm-hmm. and see what the hackers can come up with in the course of a day.
They just give you like little tools and little bits of code or whatever and say, okay, assemble it.
Yeah. Many times it'll be a company that has just launched a new set of APIs and they want to see what can the broader public build with these APIs.
Now, the API, just tell people what an API is.
An API is an application programming interface.
And that's what you...
So that, it's something that a company may have specific data that they're trying to expose or...
It could be like a navigation program for driving.
Connecting to something else.
Yeah, wearable computer, the kind of smart watches are coming out are a good example.
So in New York, what did you during that hackathon, what did you create that got you $50,000?
The New York hackathon was a video platform. So again, it was a company who has a platform for something like YouTube, but a little bit different in that you can control your own content. So if you're an educational institution or an enterprise user of video, you can actually control the video. So what I did for that hackathon is I took the video platform and I extended it for local based video. So there's these iBeacon technology where you can trigger things on your cell phone. So as you come in contact with an iBeacon, videos would play.
And by the way, Cal, that's something that Apple's been doing a lot with iBeacons, am I right? In terms of, like, for instance, in stores, you have to be close to it, right?
Yeah, that's something that they're developing for marketing and that sort of thing.
Right.
And they've got an effort going on right now. Matter of fact, I think something might be emerging sometime next year, but not officially announced.
So you were, Sam, you were creating something with a video.
Yeah, so
that
would
relate
to those. When you come in contact or come near one of these iBeacons, videos would trigger. And also augmented reality functionality for the videos. So just took everything I could do in a course of 2 days. This was a 2-day hackathon.
Just you? No you sleep. On your own?
No sleep. Yeah, me on my own.
You on your own?
They typically,
just Mountain Dew and Fritos?
Yeah, they typically allow teams of four or five different people. But, the fact that I stay up all night long and I know what I can produce in the 2 days, I typically go in alone and soldier along.
So
and it's not the first time. You've won other hackathons.
Yeah, this would be, you know, something four or five different hackathons. Wow. This is certainly the biggest one.
Mm-hmm. The biggest cash prize.
And it was a big risk I took in traveling to New York City. And,
yeah.
And, you know,
like a gun? You want a gunslinger kind of a coding that goes into town and tries to outdraw the rest of them?
Yeah.
And you did.
Yeah. Did. And you can't, in Ann Arbor recently, you also walked away with $20,000.
Yep. Ann Arbor Spark put on a connected car hackathon.
Oh.
For that, I used iBeacons in that one as well.
And what was it something? So it's something for cars that you were working with, right? For the
There's typically a sponsor who was trying to have folks do things with their APIs. Yeah. This was Hertz Rental Car. They wanted to see what people could do with their APIs.
What I've heard the hackathons are is that a company essentially puts the money up, and then they get to keep all the code that's created. Am I right?
That's not necessarily the case. They actually really like to work with the teams going forward. So so they don't have necessarily the innovation skills internal.
Gotcha.
So that's why they're going out to the development community as a whole, saying, "Help us innovate." And then they would like to work with you going forward.
See, Ed, your skills in hacking could be you can make a ton of money now.
No, his hacking is not hacking. His hacking is assembling very creative.
And hacking doesn't mean necessarily something destructive, but it means something creative.
Well, see, that's what I did with something destructive.
Oh,
yeah,
excuse me.
Well, I'm just kidding.
Well, and you know, Sam comes from Ann Arbor, and he's the co-founder of Pindrop. That link is on our homepage as well. So people, they can take advantage of all this creativity by just going to Pindrop if they need some work done.
Now, Sam, we're going to be going to answering questions, but we're going to keep you around because we're going to do another interview that will show up as a bonus on our podcast channel, okay? So we continue the conversation there. Sam, thank you very much. Sam Harrell being with us. Now we're going to move to your questions, 800-859-0957. Hello there. Let me once again give you the phone number, 800-859-0957, and remind you that this will be one of the last times we'll be doing live shows for a little while because of MSU sports starting up at the beginning of September. So you've got a unique chance here, you folks in Detroit, to give us a call at 800-859-0957. You folks in Toledo,
they're all out of Toledo finding water.
I was going to say, open up the bottled water and give us a call, too. I know a lot of people in northern Ohio listen to us as well.
You know, if you don't have water, you can always drink beer.
There you go. You and the guys from IT and the D can really resonate to that.
Somewhere in Ohio, there's a 16-year-old kid going,
yay! Mr. Rudell rocks!
All right, let's go to Marvin from Southfield. Marvin, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, good show, guys.
Thanks.
I received an email the other day from my AT&T network security showing my account number.
Uh-huh.
And it was a network security advisory that went, quote, open net BIOS detected. NetBIOS.
Open net BIOS detected.
I have no idea what that is, what's going on, or what do I have to do to fix this?
Eddie, or one of you guys?
Well, NetBIOS is a protocol they used to use a long time ago, right? It was like in the Novell networks. And anyways, Cal, does this sound like a scam, or does this sound like, because that isn't even passed over the network. I mean, NetBIOS is something that's just on a local area network. Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing I would say is, is AT&T your provider?
Yes, I have AT&T DSL service, AT&T Yahoo.
Then
the next thing I would do is I would call their 800 number and ask them, is this piece of email legitimate first before you take yourself through a whole tizzy?
And
that's because it doesn't sound right to me.
No.
Don't understand how they would know my account number and my internet protocol address.
Well, probably that the AT&T's website was hacked. Mm-hmm. Or that information is freely available.
Or it was picked up somewhere
else. It was picked up somewhere, somehow.
But because that's like your bank getting in touch with you with an open email with your account number in it. That's not right. It shouldn't be happening.
Period. And the other thing is, by calling them up and saying, is this valid? If they say, yes, it is valid, then you go, okay, fine. What is it that you want me to do?
Yeah, exactly.
And then that way you'll get your solution at the same time.
Okay.
I see. So is there any harm to me using my computer now, or...
In my knowledge, no.
If anything, it's the kind of thing where they want you to, this is called social engineering, they want you to act on this out of fear. So we're going to stop the game right away. And we're going to simply tell you, you go call AT&T and check it out there.
They didn't advise me what action to take or to call them or anybody else or anything.
Payload might be in the email, guys, you think, Shane?
Yeah, you know, anytime you're going to get one of those security alerts in the email, it's always a red flag. Just because they just don't do it often anymore. You know, what you might want to do is, just to be safe, just run a quick malware scan or something.
Yeah,
do a quick scan on your computer and just see if it finds anything. But just to be safe.
But definitely get in touch with AT&T. That's, I think, the
first
big thing.
First
thing, go right to the horse's mouth, as they say. Okay, let's see. Let's talk with Joe, who was on line one from Livonia. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I need $1 million in a warm, sunny place. Can you help me?
That's a different show.
No, actually, I can help you. Just get on I-75 and keep walking south.
All right, be that way.
What's up, Joe? What we can do for you?
All right, I'm running a Mac, and I'm trying to use TextEdit, and I'm running into a problem in terms of the ruler. The ruler is showing in centimeters, and I can't find any option that allows me to move it back to inches, which is what it used to be.
Hmm. What if you go do a right mouse click on the ruler? Does it give you the ability to change
it? All right. Well, first of all, I don't have a right click, so hold on a second while I open a document. New. Okay.
And Cal, isn't it possible that a setting like that is basically within the system preferences?
Yeah,
preferences. It could be in the preferences. I don't know exactly where that is because I'm not a big TextEdit user.
I tried going through all of the options. I mean, all of the menu items at the top where it says TextEdit. And preferences is one of the ones that I hit, but I couldn't find anything in there that deals with measurements. It does deal with rulers, but it doesn't allow you to, there's no option for changing.
Okay. Wait, so it does give you rulers in the preferences?
Let me do it real quickly. Where are we at here?
Well, my guess, this is a global setting.
There's an international setting. Yes.
No, actually, what it does, it gives me new document, and then it gives me open and save are the two tabs at the top of that page.
Hmm.
And then it gives me width in terms of characters, height in terms of lines, rich text or plain text.
And that's all. It doesn't give you the... for instance, with some weather, web pages, for instance, you can get centigrade or Fahrenheit, and it would seem sensible that either by right-clicking on the ruler or going into preferences that you would find but you're not finding it.
In the options or preferences. Well, this is probably a global or universal one. It wouldn't be on the ruler itself, probably. This would be...
Okay, I did the control click with the mouse on the ruler, and I got no change.
Yeah.
Okay,
is there a spot on the bottom of the screen where it says measurements?
A spot of green on the bottom?
No, a spot on the bottom of the screen that says measurements.
Not that I see.
Okay, because there should be an area down there where you can click on it, and then you can change the measurement from metric to U.S.
And that's in TextEdit, right? That's where you were?
I've got a new TextEdit document that is open, which is new. It's untitled.
Shane,
but there's nothing down at the bottom of that.
Okay,
there's an area in your preferences called International Preferences.
I didn't see it when I look at it. Like I said, I've only got two tabs. One says New Document, and one says Open and Save.
Okay, if you continue to listen before this show is out, I'll have you an answer.
Yeah, we're going to have to dig around in this a little bit ourselves. And Shane, what were you saying that you would see?
There's an area there called International Preferences where you have to switch it from metric to U.S.
Okay, and that's in TextEdit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're on a PC, right?
I'm on a PC, but I'm on an Apple support page right now that says this exact problem.
Yeah, which is saying the same thing I'm looking at too.
All right, Joe, so we're gonna look
at... We used to run into this problem a lot with the Microsoft applications and Microsoft Word. You know, we would run across that with the ruler at the top. Sometimes this happens also where your settings get changed internationally from like English to French, and all of a sudden your spelling your automatic spelling fails. And it's because it's checking for the French letters or the French... Everything's a mistake.
So the adjustments for that are usually at the bottom of the page. Is that what we're saying?
They're within the preferences of the application.
Okay, and this is in particular with text editing. Shane, what you saw on the Apple forum was correct. That it's at the bottom. Yep. Okay. By the way, folks, our number here is 800-859-0957. And by the way, I want to say this quickly. For those of you who are listening to us on our affiliates, you also can get your questions. And we really want to hear from questions from the Muskegon area or Lansing or wherever you happen to be listening to us. Simply go to internetadvisor.net and hit the Contact Us button. And we will be able to... find out how you can send us an email and we will get the questions answered during the week. We get a whole bunch of emails and we do our very best to answer them then and get that back to you. Again, the number here now is 800-859-0957. Now we've got Bill in Flushing and we've got somebody else who wants to talk to us as well, but it's open for you at 800-859-0957. And as I said, coming up very soon, we are going to be preempted very often by the folks at Michigan State University with their sports programs. And that'll be starting probably the beginning of September. And it goes pretty much through the fall and into the spring with Michigan State basketball coming up. I mention that now because you may have heard in the first hour of the program, I'm taking a little time to talk about this. We are going to be expanding our program resources into the area of podcasting as well. So every week, even though you may not hear us on our flagship station, WJR Live, every week we bring the crew in and record a two-hour program for our affiliates, and we'll be creating content for that podcast area as well, including an extended interview with our guest, Sam Harrell, who was here talking about creating killer applications. Back in just a moment to talk to you.
Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Udell.
Once again, I'd like to thank Crystal Price and Rich Lozinski, who are doing a great job behind the glass to help our program come through. Annie Nichols not with us today to answer phones. Crystal's doing a great job. Thank you so much, Crystal. And thank you, by the way, for getting involved in the program. The number again, by the way, 800-859-0957. And we're down to some limited times to answer your calls directly. This is a great time to call in. And don't be afraid. We love talking with people, and we'll make it fun for you. Let's see. Ed, you had something to say, and then Cal, you had an answer for our last caller, Joe.
I was going
to
say, remember I was talking about the laptop motherboards?
Yes.
And how I put them in the oven and fixed them and refloated them?
Yeah.
When they returned, I got feedback from one of the other individuals. He's a regular listener to our program up in Saginaw because he listens to the podcast. Uh-huh. And he goes, no, it wasn't Ed from the Internet Advisor that fixed my computer, was it? No way.
No kidding.
So he was very happy.
A thumbnail on that. Ed found a way of re-soldering some of these fine connections by doing some preparations on the motherboard first to protect other elements, but you put it into the oven for how many minutes?
I've got to be careful. I don't want teenagers doing this, but 380 degrees for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's called reflowing. Shane gave me a much better explanation on it. We'll talk about it another time.
Okay.
It was great, and it smells
and
like cookies.
Foil over it, right?
Yes.
Do not attempt this at home.
Do not attempt this at home. I'm a trained professional.
He did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Go ahead, Cal.
Cal! We need the video camera.
Yeah, we do. I want a photo of that look.
Seriously, you should start signing those motherboards. Like when a watchmaker opens up a watch and fixes it, they always sign the inside of it. You should start doing that.
Yeah. Then there'll be evidence.
Kind of like Shelby.
It'll be worth something.
Like Shelby.
Yeah.
For a moment, the thing is when you open up those mothers. What were you going to say to Joe?
I was going to say to Joe, hey, guess what? I have an answer for you, my friend. If you will click on System Preferences, and once in System Preferences, go to Language and Text.
Okay.
And then in that, select the Region tab. And then make sure that the region that you have selected is United States. And then after you do that and you close it up, if you close Text Edit and open it up again, you'll have your standard measurement scale.
It's under System Preferences.
Yes. And if you didn't catch all of that, all you have to do is listen to our podcast.
Yep. And be able to catch pieces of it. Ed, you going to say something?
I was just going to say, if you select any other country other than NATO, North American, North Canada, Mexico, it's going to be...
You could get a whole bunch of things happening, including spell checking in French or Czechoslovakian. Who knows? All right, let's go to Bill from Flushing. Bill, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
I have a problem that everybody says cannot be solved.
All right.
So it's on to you.
Impossible. Just
thanks.
Takes,
thanks yeah. a load. Okay, go ahead.
I always say impossible just takes a little longer. That's all.
Over the years, and I've done this in bits and pieces, and I'm old, so you're going to have to be very specific when you tell me what to do.
All right.
Over the years, I have kind of put my thoughts down on a disc. Mm-hmm. And the one that I'm referring to, it's one of the smaller ones, you know, like, I don't know.
Oh, it's a floppy disk, a 3.5 floppy inch?
Yeah, about 3.5 inches square, if that's the one.
Although the kind that were like a floppy, as you said, it was flexible. And
flexible.
They were sort of rigid.
It's inside of a case.
Yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
And a little window slides sideways.
Yep.
But I don't know. See, I'm quite sure that it was done on Microsoft, but I don't know the version. And from some of the people have told me that the versions, you know, they change and you can't go from one to the other to retrieve information.
That's not true. If the information still lives on the floppy, and if you could find a computer that can read the floppy, then...
therein lies the problem. I don't know what version it is, I don't know if they're...
That's not important. The first important part is finding a device that can read it. Now,
do you have a drive where you can read the floppy drive?
They make USB floppy drives for what? $15?
$24, Micro Center.
They make a device that you can plug into any modern computer that'll read the floppy. Now the thing is, the most important part is to copy the information off that floppy as soon as you can and copy it onto another computer, maybe the computer's desktop or a folder on the desktop, because those floppy drives were only rated for 5 years.
They just deteriorate.
You put that floppy activate it.
This has not been used. I have had it in an envelope.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Exposed to oxygen, the plastic will deteriorate.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, you need to get it off the floppy as quickly as possible, and then just copy. You don't need to double-click on it. You need to copy the entire contents to another medium, like the desktop of another computer or a USB drive. Worry about retrieving the data later. Copy them over as files first.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about the rest of it later.
Because I do have an older computer that I can put it in.
No, I wouldn't even trust that because the dust on the heads of that old computer or the cat hair.
Oh, no, I use it almost every day.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So,
but I just happen to have a slot for the smaller floppy drive.
So there's two issues here. One is getting the content off of the floppy, which is what Ed just told you about. And he wants you to do that right away. I agree with him. You might be able to get them off, and you might not. And that's the problem, because these floppy drives or floppy disks are older. The second issue is not as big a deal, and that is if it was created with Microsoft Word, going back to almost the very first version, they're all compatible going forward. It'll read that. Our concern is that you can't get the content off the floppy at this point.
And there are methods of converting that. And no matter what it is, what file it is, there are ways of extracting the data within the files that you've written it in. Whether it's WordPerfect, whether it's Microsoft Word, whether it's WordStar, whether it's just a standard text editor.
There's always a method.
Okay, well, I will do some more searching then.
But the kick is, and if any of your computers have the ability to get on the internet or have a USB device on the backside, you want to copy that to some other medium, if possible.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much, and good luck. Yeah, and good luck to you. Thank you very much. That's interesting. Saving that kind of old technology.
And think about it. Those floppy drives only hold 1.1 megabyte.
I get this at least once a week in the store. Someone comes with a big stack of the floppies. You know, the three.
How much do they hold?
1.44
megabytes.
That's it.
Megabytes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're like, well, what do I got to do? I said, just transfer to a flash drive. And they're like, well, look at all this. Am I going to fit? I said, I tell you what, I've got this little 4 gig I want to give you for free. That's going to be enough for a lifetime for you.
Because a 4 gig is worth about $3 right now.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, Larry from Marion, Ohio. Welcome. Hope you got water down there, by the way.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, have an issue with it's an HP Vista computer. Got it out. It was in storage for probably a year. Was working fine. Got it out, powered it up, And after about a day of using it, it basically, everything got real slow. I went to the step of taking it back to factory default, wiping it completely clean. It worked fine for about a week. Then it started, whenever you would leave it the night before, it was fine. You would get up the next day, go on it. Everything was really, really slow to come up. No matter what you went to, really, really slow. Run my antivirus. Run Malwarebytes. Tried to run System Restore, but it would never come up. An hour later, maybe it might pop up. Whenever I would try to run that, no matter what point I chose, it told me it failed. Left it set for a couple hours, went back to it, and it was fine. It did this maybe two or three times.
Okay, Shane, I think I know what it is. Go ahead. Go ahead, Shane. Tell him what
Larry,
it is.
Larry, do you have any gremlin traps?
Poltergeist?
No. You know, there's a couple things. My first initial thought was, how long is it set?
It set for about a year.
Okay.
I packed it up in packing and everything, put it in a box.
And I know I'm gonna steal Ed, but it's probably all of us. We're all thinking there's a couple things that it could be. It could be one that the CPU's dirty, build up with, it's overheating and slowing down. Could be one. And that's kind of why when you shut it off and then come back to it after it's cooled off, it's running okay, and then it heats up and it slows down. It could be also a failing hard drive.
Well, see, I thought about that too. Mm-hmm. But when it comes, when I go to restart the computer, it does its little scan, and it does about 8 swipes.
You know what, Larry? We're going to take a break. If you want to just hang on the line with us, we'll get right to you right after the break.
Yeah, we'll get back to you shortly. Joe and Romulus and Kathy, you know we're going to talk with you, but also you out there, get a quick question in at 800-859-0957. The internet on the air for you. Thank you so much for listening to us during our program today. I think we've had probably one of the best programs we've done in a long time in terms of guests and content and variety. It's been a lot of fun, and have all the guys in here too. That's been a
bit. I think it's only going to get better once we start doing those podcasts, right?
Exactly. And what we're going to be doing, by the way, today, as one of those bonus elements, you won't hear it on the podcast for the show, is we're going to do a little more of an extended interview with Sam Harrell, who is the coder who won those two prizes at the hackathon.
Well, he's won 5.
Oh, he's won 5. I mean, the two that I knew of, but 5 of them.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be
And the only one he didn't win, he's now working with that company.
Yeah.
So
we'll hear more about
that
story.
Bigger win.
You'll hear more about that on the special podcast section. Again, that won't be in the blog. Pardon me. That won't be in our show podcast, but it will be on the special podcast channel.
So you have to go to our website and link off from there.
Exactly. Yep.
And what is that website?
InternetAdvisor.net.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, guys, let's answer the question that...
For Larry. Yes.
Larry asked us the question. You guys have done some research. What you got?
You know, after we got off the phone with you, we went to break, we were thinking it was... we both kind of said it at the same time. It's probably trying to run updates overnight. If you're connected to the internet, you know it's going to want to go grab those updates. If it's a first-gen Vista machine, it may have came with 512 memory, which is not enough to run Service Pack 3 for Vista. And he keeps doing it and trying, you know,
that
to load.
Sense.
Yeah, and that would make sense because he did a system factory restore.
Yeah,
and what happens is you would think it would run fast. It would for the first 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. Mm-hmm. But then it starts downloading all those Microsoft updates and trying to apply them in the background.
Oh,
it's going
to
slow down.
Slow death.
Years worth of updates.
All over again. 1 gigabyte is minimum for Service Pack 3.
Or like Shane said also, could be a failing hard drive.
Could,
yeah. But importantly, 1 gigabyte is the minimum RAM for Service Pack 3.
Correct.
Which is interesting because it's a Service Pack. You would think that it wouldn't go over the original program needs.
But Service Pack. Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
Vista. Come on.
Hey.
Good point.
Service Pack 3 was a Goliath.
Catch 22. Thy name is Microsoft.
With Vista.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's go to Kathy, who's calling us. Hi, Kathy. How are you doing?
Hi, fine, thank you.
Very good. Now, you have a question about some things that were installed on your computer and you want to find out how to uninstall them. And let's talk a little bit quickly about the things that you did install, the problems you had, and now we can help you with uninstalling it. So, what were the things you put on your computer? And by the way, what is your computer? Tell us a little bit what that is. Laptop?
It's a laptop, yes.
Okay, and it's running what?
Windows?
I believe it's Vista.
Windows Vista, okay.
Windows Vista, yes. Okay. And I downloaded Microsoft Excel and Word.
Okay.
Then I went on the internet and I downloaded Microsoft Essentials and Malware Bytes.
Ah, okay.
And
very good.
When I was installing that, I got some weird messages. And then it said something about I'd had 10 days and I would lose something. What I'd like to do is just uninstall the Microsoft Essentials and the Malware Bytes and then go to your site and re-download them.
Okay, now
how do I uninstall them?
Hang on a second. You may not need to do a lot of that dancing around. Ed, you were going to say something?
Well, Microsoft Security Essentials is free and there is no warning that it would provide about expiration. But when you install Malware Bytes, it does want to install. Do you wish us to install the real-time protection 15 days or 30 days, the pro version, for a free trial? And you're right. That one does have a countdown on there. So it's a NAG utility.
It's called NAGware.
And you know, they're trying to convince you to buy their product for $25. I believe it used to be $25 for a lifetime. But I believe now it's $25 a year. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to.
Could very well.
So how does she take it off? Since she wants to take it off,
you know, you can either just let it expire, and then it'll just disable that feature,
or the real time protection. We could teach her how to uninstall a program through.
Well, it's providing a real time protection now. Excellent.
Well, she's got Microsoft
protection.
Essentials on there. Security Essentials.
But doesn't if she uninstalled the pro version?
It'll go back to the free version.
Oh, it does go back to the free version automatically.
Yes. Automatically.
Oh.
So
now Shane, you can confirm that for me, because after the, say, countdown to day zero, what happens? Then it just comes up with an announcement, and then you could tell it not to tell you this anymore?
It keeps bugging you and bugging you.
Oh, it does bug
you? Yes. Yeah. So, especially the new version. The new version of Malware Bytes is not what we're used to.
Yeah, I saw that.
They made a big upgrade to it and different changes. It will nag you to get the...
It's a great program.
It
and
is.
We've had the CEO, the founder, and
it's worth
creator
the money.
Of it.
It's worth the money to buy it. Here. It really is.
Now, Shane, if you were to down... You can uninstall it, and then when you attempt to reinstall it, you can reinstall it either from our website or using the same installation that you did before.
Correct.
Method that you used before. But then when you step through the steps where it says, do you wish to install a desktop icon? Do you wish to have it run an update and a scan after it installs? Then you hit next. And then I think one of the options is there's a little checkbox that says, do you wish to run the trial version of the real-time protection?
Right. The pro.
Of the pro version. And you just remove the check from that box.
Yeah. So that you'll only install the free version.
Now, how does she uninstall that if she wants to do that?
She's just going to go right to her control panel.
Yeah.
Go into her add and remove programs, her program section.
Programs and features in Vista.
And you'll find it listed in there. You'll highlight it and just hit uninstall. It's very simple.
Yep.
One thing you want to remember, Kathy, is when you reinstall it to uncheck that, you know, where it says we're going to give you the trial of Pro. But then also remember throughout the course of using it, they're going to do updates, and sometimes they'll do a full update where they'll reinstall it again because it's a big update. They're going to remind you again, hey, do you want to do the pro again? Just you got to be very vigilant and keep an eye out for that. For
and
that
just kind of
you probably have done what we are all guilty of, and that is you start installing
times.
It, and the screens keep on coming up. You say, next.
Yes, exactly. You're exactly right. That's exactly what I did.
And what happens, I've done it, and
we've all done it.
And you say, after it, you say, oh, no, I just got the
Ask toolbar again from
McAfee. Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah, Cal?
No, Kathy, after this is all said and done, wasn't this a pleasant experience? Wasn't it great to be on the radio to be able to say, hey, I'm Kathy? Yes?
Yes, Kathy?
All the time.
Okay,
thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kathy. She had a bit of stage fright initially, but we're glad that she came on.
Thought she hung up on you.
No.
That was a creepy voice.
They never hung up on me.
All right, Joe from Romulus, I think you may be our last caller today. Let's see if we can quickly help you. Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Oh, yes. I have a Windows 7 on my laptop. It's 32-bit, and I want to install 64-bit so I can take advantage of the extended memory that I can install. Okay. And I'd like to also keep all my settings and passwords from one version to the next, and I'd like to know if there's a quick way of going about that.
Shane, you ever done that? Because I... I don't remember the specifics of it or not. It'll
when you say your passwords for what?
It asks every time I go to a website, it wants to know if it wants to save the password for that website.
So he has cookies.
The default password saver in Windows.
Yeah,
so there's sites that I go to that I haven't had to enter the website. Password in so long. I forgot. Tell you where it is.
Yeah. Are you going? You're going to do a complete format.
Yes.
Yeah, you might want to grab your whole user profile, but you want to make sure you go into, it's going to be big, but make sure if you want to grab all the cookies and all the temps, what you want to do is go into your folder options and unhide those things first.
Okay.
Okay.
And once you unhide them, then go into your user profile, which would be under C and then users and profiles, copy your name or whatever your name is, your username, grab the whole thing, copy the whole thing onto a large thumb drive. And then once you reinstall, just put it right back over on top of itself.
Yep, and that's one way of doing it, and that's the way we do it. Another way is you can use Microsoft's Easy Transfer.
Correct.
And it'll also do the same thing, keep your printers as well. But I would do both. Do both.
Okay,
you can always reinstall Windows.
That. Easy Transfer and back up all the profiles.
You got it.
You got it, sir. Thanks for calling, Joe. And by the way, if you need more... to listen to that again, just help you go to our podcast on Sunday night. We'll put that up. And don't forget, there's now bonus stuff that's on our podcast channel. And we'll make sure you go to internetadvisor.net and find out more about that. Guys, thanks so much for being with us. Crystal and Rich, thank you for working with us as well. See you all next week on the Internet Advisor.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.